want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. Our topic today, market planning, stay ahead or be left behind. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we'll jump into our program. For those of you just joining us for the first time, Lighthouse provides in-depth work style and personality assessments for both new hire candidates and for staff development. We also offer a number of workshop topics to associations and trade organizations. If you'd like more information, please email me as indicated on your screen. Our Keeping on Track open line series is in response to a number of calls we've been getting from many of our clients, both domestically and globally, to address the various business issues that most organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program today, we'll open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest, Paul David Walker. You'll also want to have some paper and a pen handy to take notes, since we'll be sharing many ideas that you can consider and implement with your team and trusted advisors. On the lower right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a print icon, so you can print out all the slides at this point. Our special guest with us today is Paul David Walker, who is a longtime friend and business colleague, super cool guy, well known around the world. Many of you know Paul for his best-selling book, Unleashing Genius, and if you haven't read it, the information for getting a copy is on your screen. Paul is one of the few CEO coaches who has worked with numerous Fortune 500 CEOs and their staff members for over 25 years, along with many mid-cap organizations. Some of the organizations that Paul has worked with include Starkist Foods, New York Life, Ancline, Rockwell International, countless manufacturing, global utilities, service, and consulting organizations. Paul is the founder of Genius Stone, which we'll be hearing about in the news in the near future, and I feel very privileged to have Paul with us again. He's a regular guest on our show to share ideas that will help each of us preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be Interviewing Techniques 3.0. Paul, I want to welcome you. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you so much, Dana, for the kind introduction. And it's always exciting to talk to people about different business issues. And this is one that's very important. You know, during a recession, during economic change, you know, some people are not going to notice it, and they're going to miss opportunities. Some people are going to notice it, but they're not going to be fast enough to take advantage of it. And some people are going to notice it and are, think they're fast, but not really very good at executing, don't have the details. So today we're going to talk about speed, target marketing, and execution. You need all three. Things are moving quickly, and your competitors are moving quickly. So let's talk about speed first. The need for speed is what we have on that third slide, right?
Yeah, there we go. And also, I want to encourage everyone to put questions in as we're moving along today so we're as interactive as possible. And, Paul, somebody actually just wrote a note in on this slide, as you mentioned it, so you guys are quick on the trigger. That's good. Why is it so important for speed, and is there danger in doing so?
Well, first of all, because things are changing at a pretty rapid rate, that's one reason. But the biggest reason is, you know, when there's change in the economic framework and the economic rules, in the manufacturing rules, the people who change, who know what that is and know what the new way to operate is and change rapidly, quickly, will be the ones who can, you know, take advantage of the situation. The people who move slow, your competitors, will then be left behind because you'll have already established a brand in the changing dynamics of your business. So everything is moving faster, and in order to capture market share, which is what you do during a recession, have to capture it quickly because everybody else is trying to capture it. So you can't kind of wait and see, if you will. That's not going to work. You've got to know where to go and attack it. You know? And that's the second bullet point. You know, we're not sure how the world is going to change. It's not written. There's no manual. But we know the first person to know the answer in their segment, in their industry, are the ones that will win because your competitors will be vulnerable. They'll be doing things from the past that they did in the past, that worked in the past, but are not working now. And you will be able to access the market that is unfolding. And if you're fast and accurate, then, you know, you're going to win. Many fortunes have been built during recessions and depressions. This is the time to really take market share. Two of my clients now are taking market share rapidly and actually growing during the recession.
Paul, a question just came in. How do you know you're not going with the wind? Just kind of, oh, we got to go this way, got to go left, and then right, and it burns up resources moving too quickly.
Great question. I'm going to go to the next slide to answer that one.
Okay.
Right? And the first bullet point is move fast, move right, right? At one time, you know, when we have waves and waves of demand, research, strategic planning, forethought were not as important because you had a lot of demand and the key was just to execute it, process the orders, and move forward, ride the wave. But with demand slowing and the signals and triggers for success changing, you do have to move right, but you have to move fast. Whereas you may not have done any research. You may not have done a lot of strategic planning and thinking. Excuse me, I have a cold. In the past, now's the time. But it has to be done quickly. It has to be done with urgency. And when you know you're on the right track, then you know you have to act. And that's very different from responding to waves of demand as we have in the past. That answer the question?
Yeah, that's pretty. And for typically strategic planning, because things are moving, how far can you go out in a strategic plan? Is it more of a quarterly thing or an annual thing?
I think it's more the first and the second year now. The first year is the most important, and you need to be able to see the trends that are unfolding, the changes in your client needs and wants that are unfolding. You need to be very close to your client and talk with them about what their needs are so that it is a strategic plan today is more about accessing knowledge and being tied to the marketplace so you know what's going on so that you can execute right away rather than a long-term, you know, 3-4 year plan. It's all about setting up the systems and the processes that will focus you day to day on doing the right things to take advantage of unfolding opportunities.
Okay, short-term being pliable and flexible?
Yep, have to be.
All right. And how do you, since research is based on rearview mirror, but we're moving to new territory, how does one research?
Yeah, well, the right kind of research you want to do today is not rearview mirror research. You want to research what's happening now. I mean, no significant research. You know, the rearview mirror stuff gives you kind of a hunch normally because, you know, history works on cause and effect and extends itself and so on. But now you have to create a portal to the present that gives you an idea about what is unfolding. So you need research and strategic planning that is focused on the unfolding and the future and puts less emphasis, you know, on what happened in the past.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. So now, if you have to be fast and you know where to go and you've chosen, you know, the right target, the question becomes, How do you move fast? And you have to prepare yourself now to be able to move fast once you find, you know, the right target. And that's where the next slide comes in. You know, optimization comes first, right? You've got to get your organization lean, focused. You've got to get your quality up. Two of my clients right now are beating their competition on quality and service because, you know, they've taken the steps to do that, and their competitors haven't. Their competitors are just cutting back on their costs. Their competitors are just cutting back on things, but they haven't really tightened up their organization, haven't really taken this slow period, if you will, to tighten the organization up, make it so nothing is wasted, so everybody is ready to act and respond in an efficient and effective way.
Well, somebody just asked for an example of cost-cutting versus being lean.
Well, cost-cutting is what most people do is they say, well, okay, you know, our projected revenue for next year is, you know, 30-40% lower, so we're going to have to cut, you know, X amount of employees out of the company in order to, you know, have the finances balanced correctly. So that's all true, but that's just a big picture that comes from your finance people. You want to get to that lower cost by making your organization lean, by actually going through, if you're in manufacturing, lean manufacturing is just a great way to go. It's really making the organization super efficient. And you have it's the best opportunity to do it because nobody will argue with you about the need to spend capital on that. Even your employees will understand that it must be done. We must be lean. But it's very different from just, say, let's cut 20% across the board.
So what about service organizations? Lean manufacturing, most people are familiar with. What about within the service side?
Well, you know, lean, the whole notion of wasting nothing and having high quality. And in a service organization, is you don't waste time. You're efficient in dealing with things. You have information and data at your fingertips. Your inside salespeople, your salespeople have all the pertinent information available to them online so that they can respond quickly without a lot of waste of time, without a lot of callbacks, all of that. So in a service organization, lean is really data-driven and also focused on, you know, what your customers are looking for in a very quick way so that they ask for something, you've got it.
So this is a good time to go through workflow process within all organizations, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. That's part of time.
And getting input from everybody of how to become more efficient.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you know, an important part of that, you know, the next slide talks to that, is, you know, aligning for speed. You know, how do you, as you ask people to, how do we improve things? How do we get focused? How do we get aggressive? How do we build, you know, we at Genius Stone call it a fast break team. You know, a team that moves very fast, you first have to know what you're targeting. You know, that's your strategy. You have to target that strategy, target the market. Know what you're trying to do. Know what will create a win. You know, you can't coach people towards something that you don't have a clear picture of it in your head. And then in terms of workflow that you mentioned, Dana, and the other things, the structure. You've got to set up a structure in your organization and a process that makes it easy to attack the targets you know are emerging or any target. So the structure is not a bureaucracy. It's an enabler for you to go forward smoothly and effectively. And last, the culture. You want to have what I call fast break teams. You don't want a lot of ponderance. You don't want a lot of, let's think this through or let's wait and see. Once you've targeted and you have a structure that, you know, empowers people to move, you want a culture that moves. You know, it's one thing to know the answer. It's another thing to execute on it and to attack.
Paul, a question just came in. Do you have any specific tips for effective marketing in a down economy?
Yes, we did a whole section on that, but let me give you a few now. One is all customer-facing people, once you've established your strategic advantage, whatever that is, like I have one client, and Paul Sassoon's on the line, he's familiar with this, it's engineered solutions, right? Engineered solutions. This client goes in and helps their clients improve their productivity and reduce their costs by designing products for them that will help them do that, and they'll actually send their engineers in. So that's a strategic advantage, that and their service, right? So all the inside salespeople, all the customer-facing people talk about, we can engineer a solution to your problem. We'll come in and help you make your place more efficient. And then every week, I want the inside salespeople, all the customer-facing people to mention that advantage, whatever it is, in some kind of informal way, engineered solutions. Another way is we go to your customers and say, hey, we know we're going through a recession. We know your demand is down. What can we do to help you succeed? What can we do to help you succeed? Let's have a conference between you and whoever else you want in your company, and help us help you.
So that helps with that helps with client retention, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
And what about for external, for bringing new clients aboard for a push market? And I think we're going to cover this shortly, so you want to hold off on that?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll be getting to that question.
Okay. So, you know, it's almost a subliminal process. I said that to one of my clients yesterday, a new client, and I said, well, you may or may not be doing this. You're probably already doing this. I don't want to insult you. And I explained exactly what I just explained to you. And he goes, we're not doing that. That's a great idea. We're going to start right away. So it's the key. The market's smaller. You need to be connected, bonded to your client, have deep relationships, and be the answer man. And that's the next slide, right? You need to position yourself as the answer to your client's problems, right? You need to be state-of-the-art. Earlier slide, we talked about being lean and efficient. You need to learn to replicate yourself or your process if you have multiple divisions. Once you're state-of-the-art, you've developed great service, you're totally efficient and focused, you need to set that up so it's easily replicable in terms of bringing people in, easy to train them. You know, franchises have mastered this, right? And manufacturing organizations haven't, you know, so that this state-of-the-art strategy, structure, and culture is easy to replicate. It's almost a plug-and-play.
So, Paul, you're suggesting then you're giving a foundation right now for gaining market share, so making sure you're solid with your customer base, making sure that you're there for them, so then you can go back to them and also ask for other leads. But also, it sounds like getting a base there for preparing for expansion. As the market continues to grow and you're grabbing more market share, collecting it, that you have the infrastructure to be able to handle it where the other organizations won't.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I mean, sometimes my clients will say the competitors or their customers are complaining that their competitors are not answering their emails, they don't answer their phone. Man, that's a buying opportunity. You know, well, we will. You know, we have, and here's this subliminal implant. You know, we have a system that will help you save money. Remember that. That's what we do. You know, and that kind of focus in a way that your people are ready. When the opportunity presents itself, your people have the story in their heads, everybody, not just the executives, everybody, so that they can immediately say, yeah, you know, we can help you with that. Here's what we do. Here's a story from another client. You need to take the time to train your customer-facing people to have your strategic advantage top of mind and ready to go in every possible scenario that might occur.
Okay. And that's good long-term planning also.
Yeah. Because once you have that structure, once you have that lean, efficient, focused, targeted organization, you have the process there. You can always change the target. Let's say you're going forward and you go, boy, Mark, target's changing. Well, now you have the process, you have the structure, you have the habits, you have the training in place. Well, if you change the target, people just change the target. Everything else is in place. You're ready for however the market unfolds.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the next slide, we talk about target marketing. You know, answer your earlier question. Now, what do I mean by find the right customers? This is a critical point. And that is, you want to find customers that fit your existing strengths and your existing process. Customers whose needs and wants you provide a value-added solution to. And that takes the research we mentioned earlier. But it is so important that you don't try to acquire customers that are impossible to acquire. You know what I mean? I mean, there are customers that it's going to take 2 years to close them because the guy's hard-headed or it's not a natural synergy with you. And then there are customers that are a natural synergy with what you do. Those are the people you want to look for. Because once they meet you, once you tell them about how you operate, they're going to go, oh, wow, I've been looking for somebody like this for years. And, you know, it's not an accident. You don't want to waste your marketing and sales time on things, you know, that are impossible dreams. Or, you know, clients that, you know, want the product for free, right? You've got to find the ones that see your service as a value added that won't grind you on price. Everybody's going to want a better price nowadays, but there are those who want a better price and those who need a better service, and you need to find those that need a better service. And I think many clients now are suffering from falling service levels because their vendors have cut back. And so, you know, you're really in a position to help them save time by providing the service, do things that they would normally do. And all of this, your salespeople have to be completely aligned and completely synergistic with this entire strategy. And you need to build this brand that creates confidence in troubled times. Your brand, your lean, your efficiency, your service, your strategy, your way of helping your clients get through the recession and succeed has to be like the go-to brand. We need to work with these guys because they're going to help us, you know, and they'll be a partner with us. They'll be on our team. So important that your customers, as the next slide says, are business partners, customers who need what you have. Make it easy to bring in new customers. And part of doing that, of course, is, you know, going deep with your existing customers and helping them find similar customers. They know who you are. If you're doing your job and telling them about your brand and strategy, your customers know who you are and will be able to refer you, you know, to other customers who fit exactly with you. And your inside salespeople and your salespeople should be mining your existing customers for leads because those are the easiest new customers to sign up. I just signed somebody up, you know, one of my customers, you know, sang my praises to him, and, you know, I was already sold before I walked in. All I had to do was, only danger would be is I'd mess it up. That's so important. And don't be afraid to make special deals in a recession. And even price deals, if you have to gain market share. But when you make those deals, you frame those deals in the context of, right, in the context of, this is a limited time offer to help both of us get through the recession. It's not a permanent shift in our pricing policy. Another deal you can make is, you know, we need this, you don't provide this service. Can you help us with this service? Absolutely. Customer retention, building your brand, building the confidence. this is a partner I can count on to do whatever it takes to succeed. And boy, you know, that is a priceless thing.
Paul, is there sometimes an assumption that the sales folks have exhausted their lead generators and it needs to be revisited and maybe sit down and have people write down who the central core referral folks are and then just brainstorm to, because it's probably not exhausted, I would think.
Probably not, and that's why you have to do effective target marketing. Salespeople, in general, their success is, you know, building rapport, connecting with the clients. They're not researchers. And that's why you have to have a strong marketing effort to point them to say, hey, if you go over here into this market, right, and say the following things, you're going to be welcomed with open arms. So you need a relationship between the marketing and the salespeople that is very synchronistic, that helps the salespeople go and call on the right new customers. You know, in addition to digging up leads from existing customers, the whole business of targeting is critical to a success, you know, for a sales organization. Because you don't want your sales organization on the computer doing research. You want them in front of potential customers using their skills, their sales skills, to close them. You want your, you know, your research guys, you want your senior management to point them to the right market and to give them, you know, a list of bullet points. These are things that are going on in this market. If you say these things, you'll be successful.
But let's say the salespeople come back and they say, you know what, we've gone through our list, we've made all the calls we can make, and they need fresh ideas of what to do, where to go. Any thoughts on that?
Well, that's you need to have fresh ideas for them. Absolutely. I mean, part of it, maybe they're just making an excuse. But probably not, since they make most of their living on, you know, commissions. You have to have fresh ideas. You have to have a strategy. You have to be continuously, and that's a nice transition to the next slide, you know, the answers keep changing, right? So you have to target and change. Target and change. Continue your research. Fine-tune the target. Because, yeah, your sales are, people need you to help them direct, need you to help them dig up potential customers. And if you're going to sit back and say, well, you're the sales guy, just find it, figure it out. That's not right. You don't want to waste sales time on research and target marketing. You need to have somebody, and if you don't have a marketing person and you're the leader, then you need to do it. If you're the sales manager and there's no marketing person, then that needs to be part of your responsibility. But you want to constantly be uncovering opportunities for them and then directing them towards those opportunities.
So making it a collaborative process?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you do the work. You do the research. And then you meet with them regularly and say, okay, here's what we found. In the aerospace business, there's a real opportunity now for the following. And there's a lot of needs there. And here's the competitive situation. Here's your competitors. And, you know, these two are asleep. You know, they're cutting back. This one's on it. If you say these things, you'll be welcome at the table. And then, of course, the salespeople need to go out and try all that, and they might come back and say, gee, I said that, that didn't work, but this worked. So they need to report it back to, you know, your marketing people or your management so you can target and change. So they're out in the field, they're with the customers. You need to have this continuous flow between you and them. But you need to do the research, you know, let them bring the data points in, but then you need to pursue those data points. Continue that research and fine-tune your target. And then go back to them and say, okay, we've done some work. You're right about this. You know, start doing this and this and this.
So that adds, so the data collection then adds to the feeling of what's going on in the flow of the market.
Yep.
And then the organization can respond to that.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's always trying to stay ahead of the game where other people are probably just paddling to stay alive.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to wait for an order to come in, or you don't want to keep doing the same thing in a changing economic environment. That is the kiss of death. If you're doing the same things now that you were doing last year, you know you're in trouble. You don't know why you're in trouble. You don't know exactly why you're in trouble. But you know you're in trouble. You can just say that. I can just say it as a categorical statement. If you're doing the same things this year as you were doing last year, you're in trouble. Unless last year you were really smart and way ahead of the curve and figured out what was going to happen this year and positioned yourself for it. That would be the exception to the rule. But if you're doing the same things you've always been doing, you know, which is what people tend to do. They tend to do what they know. They tend to do the same things they've always done.
What would be an example of an organization that you know that maybe a couple bullet points of something they've been doing from the past, and they're relying on that for the future, and an organization said, you know, we did that in the past, but now here's what we need to do for the future?
Okay, so one example would be in order for, let's say, an inside sales or a salesperson to close an order, let's say, there's a procedure, you know. The first, we bring the order in. Second, we have to run that order by the CEO or the committee. Third, they have to get approval, you know, from corporate. Fourth, I'll come back to you with the order, right? Well, that may have worked during high demand. People would be willing to wait. Okay. It's not going to work now. You need to streamline that. You need to develop your people so you don't have a lot of bureaucracy between taking the order and saying yes. So often you find that. So often you find levels of bureaucracy involved in the order-taking process that are extensive. For example, in engineering companies, most quotes have to be developed by the engineers who have the technical knowledge to develop it. Well, if engineering's a bottleneck, it's going to kill you.
Hmm.
You say, well, you know, we only never needed more than this amount of engineers. We can't afford to hire new engineers. Geez, it's a recession. Big mistake. It's a bottleneck to getting your quotes done. And you want to get those quotes done right and fast and close the deal before your client can get another quote from somebody else. So it's things like that, things that have worked to sort and execute high demand won't work to discover and execute new demand, to take advantage of weaknesses in your competitors. I had one client, another example. He says, you know, I don't care what the competitors are doing. You know, I just do what I do. Wrong. That worked in high demand. That's fine, right? But now your salespeople and your inside service people better have your value proposition on the tip of their tongues, and your value proposition, even though you don't mention the competitors, should position you for advantage against your competition. So that when you say, for example, many of our competitors now, and I understand why, are cutting back on their customer service. We're not. We've actually hired a few new reps because we realize to support you, we need to move quicker. We need better service.
So it's a differentiator there. Okay.
Right. I go, oh, wow. I mean, your customer has to see you as a partner. You know? Not as a vendor. As a partner in their success. They see that. When it comes time to change vendors or cut back, right? You're going to be, they're not going to cut you back. That'd be crazy. And
that's,
it's worth a little financial sacrifice on your part, on your company's part, to take market share. The economy will come back. When it it comes back if you have more market share, more customers. Everybody will rise together as the tide rises. Mm-hmm. And you'll have cleaned house. You'll have a company that's efficient, that's effective, that's lean, that's focused, that knows how to attack a market as it changes and evolves, and a company that's flexible, knows the answers are changing all the time, but you have the process, you have the system, you have the mindset, the culture in place to be looking for opportunities continuously. And when you find those opportunities, it ties into the next slide, you're ready to execute. You're an execution machine. You execute the right things. You know, a little phrase in there, once you know, go, right?
You know, let me give an example here that might be helpful. A client of ours was about to wanted to enter into a specific market, a municipality, where other companies always failed.
Mm-hmm.
So they were about to do the traditional advertising thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to spend a significant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to do some checking, and they found that in order to penetrate that market, they needed to get the buy-in from the civic leaders,
mm-hmm.
okay, from the mayor and the city council and the police chief, and then it would filter down into the business community. This is a very reputable organization, and it's okay to do business with them because they're a good organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to think a little bit differently for approaching the market. If they had done the traditional thing, they would have done advertising and typical PR, and it would have been flushing money down the toilet.
Yep.
They took a very, very strategic approach and then created a tactic and executed to that. And they actually entered the market and won market share out of it.
Great example. Presently, only 14% of people in the world trust advertising.
Hmm.
Latest statistics in consumer research now. 14% trust advertising. Everybody else distrusts it. So in the consumer world, viral marketing is the way to go. And it's really true in manufacturing and B2B. It's advertising is probably even less respected in B2B. But when I say target marketing, it's just like you say. It's not brochures. It's not your website. It's what your people are doing day to day. It's how you step into the market and engage with the market. And you actually draw the market in.
And
your confidence and your courage to act creates a vortex of excitement. Jeez, it's right on target.
And that takes a collaborative brainstorming in order to be able to come up with ideas and maybe think a little bit differently than before. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that all of the previous slides gives you the confidence and the focus to execute rapidly and create a vortex. You draw the market in. People talk about you in a B2B circles. People talk, and they talk as, hey, you know, so and so's got great service. So-and-so will help you solve your problems. People hear about these things.
But that all starts with messaging from internally going out, like you were talking about in the beginning, putting that foundation in for the customer service people, the sales people, to have a consistent value proposition going out as to who you are, why you are, what you have of service, and then offering it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of salespeople talking about things that didn't work in the past is, you know, they do it on their relationship, which is good. I'm not saying it's not good, right? And, you know, because of your relationship, you know, you get, say, 20% of the orders. That's kind of the deal you have with a client. That's not going to work in it today. You've got to be selling the value proposition. Got to have the relationship, too. I'm not saying don't have the relationship. But you have got to be selling the value proposition. That's what's going to hold things.
Paul, we have a few minutes left. I'd like to spend a little time on value proposition. Some people mistake value proposition for taglines or for elevator speeches or just whatever. How would you define value proposition?
Okay.
I know it's
so,
a good topic.
You know, if you have taglines, they should state what your value proposition is, right? The one client, one of the people online, is a member of that group, is Engineered Solutions, and that says exactly what, you know, one of their value propositions is. Another value proposition might be, you know, our level of service, we're going to get back to you faster than anyone, right? We will answer a phone call in 2 hours, or we will respond to an email within an hour, or we will get a quote within so many days. So there's a whole series of value propositions that you're able to deliver. It's not just talk. It's things that you're able to deliver that provide value for your market and your customers. And everybody needs to know what those are. And then that's what you market with. You market with those various value propositions. And from one customer segment to another, you may spin that differently. Right? If you're talking to a buyer or an engineer, you know, you might spin it differently. Engineers are a little, buyers are cynical, right? Engineers are analytical. So as your people know your core value propositions, the things that you do that make your service more valuable than anyone else's, then your people have to know them so well that they can spin that appropriately for whoever the audience is in front of them.
And that comes back to listening then to the market share through getting feedback, a feedback loop from the customer service or anybody facing the customer. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, you need to have meetings about this. You need to train people to express the value proposition in different ways. You can't just say, well, tell people about our value proposition. Here they are. Here's the bullet points. No. You need to train them, practice, coach, develop until your team is just, you know, dangerous out there to your competition.
That's really great. Let's do this. Kind of like the green room with George Stephanopoulos for the Sunday morning news show that he has. We'll continue this discussion in just a few minutes. We're going to conclude this show and then turn off the recording equipment, and then we're going to open up the line so you'll have an opportunity to talk with Paul directly. On the slides you see now on your screen, there's an area to register for our upcoming January 7th open line, which is entitled Interview Techniques 3.0. Please sign up today and reserve a space for yourself and let us know if you'd like your staff or other colleagues to attend. In the next few days, you'll receive a recording and PowerPoint for today's program. Please feel free to share it with others in your organization or within your association. Paul and I want to thank you for your time today and for all the valuable ideas that have been shared. If you'd like to contact Paul to have further discussion on topics about your industry, your team, or to have some one-to-one time together or to discuss any of the ideas shared today, you'll see Paul's contact information on your screen. The information shared today is the property of Lighthouse Consulting Services, LLC, located in Santa Monica, California. Our mission statement is to bring effective insights into your organization. If you'd like more information on our services, please write me at dana@lighthouseconsulting.com. If you have other topics you'd like us to address, please let us know. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to having you join us for our next Keeping on Track open line program. Please hold the line. We'll open up in just a second, and have a great day.